Glad to be back in Guthrie again. Last Sunday when we were here, I told Brother Stanley, I'm not copping out, but I'm not itching to preach anywhere. And the Lord didn't give me anything. I just got a lot of good out of listening. And then later this week, I really didn't know we were going to have an invitation or opportunity to come back. But I felt the Lord give me a message for here. And then Brother Stanley called and asked us to come. So I felt that God was working in a clear way with me. And so I trust that you'll take what we have as from the Lord, because I don't have any desire to be seen or heard. But the Lord gave me a little message after our building project this week, and I spoke some from the scripture this morning there in Enid, but I didn't really go the direction that the Lord had given me for here. So I'm going to use the same scripture. You all that heard it this morning, you just bear with me, because I'm going to read the same scripture, but I have maybe a little bit different direction tonight. This is from Psalms 127, and it's about building. And we were, like I said earlier in the request, very thankful for how God marvelously worked in this little project that we had. It wasn't a little one, it was a big one for the brethren that met together there to take a flat roof, and they put up the rafters. And Danny said he only expected to get a certain place by the end of the whole day, and before we went to lunch, we were at that place. And he just came out, and I was looking and taking pictures, and he said, I just can't believe we're here, because this is what I expected to get done the whole day. And the weather, the rain clouds were just circling. And I've got a picture where it's clear above the chapel, but there's clouds all around. And it rained one time on the men, and they didn't even get down off the roof, I don't think. It just kind of cooled them off. And it rained in town. It rained out at Sister Nita's parents. They got over an inch that day, just 20 miles away. And what was it, 30 or 40 miles away, got 6 inches that evening or something like that. Anyway, the Lord had told my dad. My dad was just, oh, you know how daddy gets under a burden for things. And he had really just labored under a burden for this, about the weather and about the safety and getting everything. I mean, he had just carried this thing. And he said that he was just agonizing, and the Lord spoke to him and said, now, you're trusting Danny to come and figure out how to do this and direct this thing. Now, why don't you trust me with my part? And that's the weather. And so he just rolled it all off on the Lord. And it was just, I told our children, you are witnessing a biblical miracle, a biblical proportions in what the Lord is doing here today. And Danny said, too, that the amount of work that was done in one day. And see, this is the point I'm getting to, was that when they got to the end of the day, they had tar paper on that roof. And when we woke up, about 3 o'clock that morning, I woke up and it was pouring rain. And that rain, the Lord held it off until it was just okay. It was so wonderful. We were just in awe at what we had seen. And so I just had to get out of bed when I heard that rain. I had to get out of bed and get on my knees and just praise God and worship, because it was marvelous what he had done. And so then, as I was praying, the Lord gave me this verse. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And the converse of that is true, that when the Lord's in something, it just goes. It works out. You don't have to force it. You don't have to prompt it and prod it. But things just work. And this is true And it was true in that building project. And I know sometimes we've gone through things in building projects as people. Building homes, they have a little joke that it'll either make or break a marriage if you build a new house. And it is kind of hard sometimes to go through a building project. But with what we did, what the Lord did for us this week, He brought it to me in a spiritual way. And He brought just different things to me that when I'm in something, the Lord's saying this, when He's in something, when He's directing, when He's controlling, when the burden of it has been rolled off on Him, when He is being depended on and trusted in implicitly, and He knows that we're trusting in Him, the way that He wants to work, the way that He wants to be the one who gets the thing done. In your spiritual life, it's that way. It's His righteousness and His holiness. You are His workmanship, one scripture says. It's not of our works, lest any man should boast, for you are His workmanship. And so I want to just talk about that just a little bit. There's a scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that brings this out so well. 1 Corinthians 3 and 9. Remember the starting point. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. I think one of the most sorrowful and sad things will be to come down to the end and realize I have labored in vain. It's all been for nothing. Everything I've put into my experience or everything that I've put into this religious organization or everything that I've put into my marriage, everything that I've put into my whole life has been in vain. Isn't that a sad thing to think about? We need to really be down to business, serious business, about serving the Lord and what we're putting into our building. How we're building, are you building on a foundation that will stand? How are you building on that foundation? Do you have something that will endure? Or what will we have when we come down to the end and we face the judgment? What kind of building are we going to have? In this scripture, in verse 9, it says, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." So we're God's workmanship, and yet we're laborers together with Him. Let's go on here. "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." So we have here quite a picture of our spiritual building. And thinking of this foundation, he said, "I have laid the foundation." And we brought out this morning where we were that Ephesians 2, it brings out the scripture of the foundation of the church or of the saints. In verse 20, Ephesians 2 and 20, "are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." He is the foundation. He's the cornerstone. He's what we measure and build upon, and we measure our lives to and conform our lives to his pattern. Was it important in the Old Testament, the different building projects that were done, how important was it that it went by Christ, by God's pattern? It was all important, wasn't it? Noah, What a great undertaking he had. But that was God's building. Yet Noah labored together with God. His ship made it through, did it not? It carried them through to safety. It was God's direction. Noah didn't labor in vain. That thing brought them through. How about the Tower of Babel? Whose building was that? And what happened to it? God didn't order that. It wasn't God's building. Let's make sure that what's going on in my life, in my spiritual life, is God's building. It's something that he's doing. Even Jesus. Jesus said different times, he said, I don't work on my own. The words that I'm saying, they're not my own words. I am just one sent. I'm just somebody, I'm just repeating what's been told to me. And that's the way Jesus was. He lived by his Father. He said, I can do nothing by my own self. He, you know, this thought is really something, but he came here as a human. Sometimes we think, well, he was just God walking around. I want to tell you something. He was the Son of God. He had been divested or taken his glory as the being of the Godhead. He didn't have that on his own. He had it only as he lived by his Father in prayer and in communion. And the Scripture brings this out. He didn't just, well, I've got all this power and I can go work a miracle. No, it happened because he kept in touch with his Father. The works that I do, he said, my Father works, and hitherto I work. And so what Jesus was doing, the works, has it endured? Has Christianity been stamped out from the face of the earth? Never. It's been something Jesus said, now I have chosen you, even as I have been sent by my Father, even so send I you, and I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and what? Your fruit should remain. So what he's asking of us is, you build as I have built. It will be my work in you. The Holy Spirit working in and through us will produce a building that will endure. There's a scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved... Do you know this evening? If your physical life were to end, do you have a building? Do you have something God has been working on since your conversion? And it's been his work. Do you know this? We have a building of God. We have this. Now, I know this personally. You can have this peace. I know if life on earth were to end for me tonight, I have something that will receive me in eternal habitations. That's my building. That's what God's been doing. What God does in your life, it's eternal. It lasts. It's enduring. It'll stand the storms. It'll stand persecutions of men. It'll stand the shakings and different things that will... I want to go back to 1 Corinthians 3 and look at some of those things. But when we build, when we allow God to work in us, building on the foundation. And I want to go back again to Ephesians also and talk just a little bit about the foundation. But when we do that, we know we have a building of God. When our earthly house fails, we have made eternal friends. We've laid up treasures in heaven that will receive us. A house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now, in order to have that kind of a house, we're going to have to build on that kind of foundation. And it's been laid. And it's not only just some people say, well, it's the foundation of Jesus. It's just all Jesus. No. In Ephesians, it says the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Well, what does that have to do with Jesus? The prophets foretold Jesus. They foreshadowed him. They showed what he was to be, and he fulfilled everything that the scriptures had said. Remember Jesus, when he talked to his disciples, Brother Porter used to emphasize this. He went back to David and the prophets. And let's see, how was it that Jesus revealed to his disciples who he was by the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. That's what it says, what Jesus said. He went back to them and he showed them how they all pointed to him. And so the foundation of their faith was, yes, I can see the proof of this. It was prophesied of you. And you, yes, you did all this. They'll tell all my bones. They'll look upon me whom they have pierced. Right down to my God, why hast thou forsaken me? To the stripes on his back, to the thorns in his hands. All of those things foretold what he was and what he would do. And he proved that to his disciples. And then it only says that the foundation is on the apostles or the prophets, but also the apostles. How is that? Because they were eyewitnesses of what Jesus was and who he was. And there, Paul Peter said that our word to you was not just of ourselves, but it was as the Holy Ghost spoke to us. We handled him, we touched him, the word of life, and what we cannot but speak the things that we've seen and heard. And so that is the foundation of our faith, is that foundation of the apostles and prophets who told of Christ. So it's Christ along with the apostles and prophets. And our word, and our faith is built upon that word. Another thought that came to me this morning was how that Jesus came to his disciples and he said, "Who do you say that I am?" And they said, who said? Peter. He said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "You're blessed, Peter, because flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven, has revealed this to you. And I say unto you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church." So this foundation of who Jesus was and the revelation of this to Peter was, to me, I can see that that is the rock of each of us, of our faith. Jesus is that rock, but he's nothing to you unless he's precious to you and you build upon him and you're convinced that who he is, he's who he is. And you anchor your faith in him and nothing can shake you. You believe his word, you take him at his word, you receive him as Lord and Savior, and he lives in you. He is alive, he works in you, and that is the anchor and that's your foundation. Nobody can move you off that foundation. And what's going to take? Jesus said, not only for you to hear his sayings, but to do them. That will cause you to be like a man who dig deep and laid his foundation for his life and his beliefs and his whole, everything about him is laid on that rock, which is Christ. And that revelation, I know him. I know who he is. He has revealed himself to me. This didn't come, Paul said. Didn't he say? He said, this didn't come by flesh and blood. He said, I was out in the desert and he revealed himself to me. Each one of us needs to have that personal revelation of who Christ is in our individual lives for him to write his name upon our heart, his laws upon our heart, and the name of his church upon our heart. He wants to do that. And that is the foundation of your faith. Personal, individual revelation of Jesus Christ. And you believe in that and you anchor yourself in that. And he said, you're like a man who digs deep and lays his foundation on a rock. And then what happens? Let's get that. I want to get the one in Luke. I believe it's in Luke where Luke 6 and 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. The one in Matthew says that he built upon the sand, and the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew. So you have a wind, you have rain, you have a flood, and you have a stream. And in the 1 Corinthians 3, you have fire. So we're going to be tried in every one of those ways. Will your building, your spiritual life, will it withstand all of those things? It will, if you're on the foundation, which is Christ, and you have a personal revelation of who He is, and you know Him. And another place in 2 Timothy 2, it says that the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal. The Lord knows them that are His. So you know Him, and He knows you. You can't shake that experience. Nothing can shake you. People, that is a secure place. Satan, your loved ones. Affliction, long drawn out affliction. Sudden calamity. Nothing can shake that kind of an experience. It doesn't matter. You can face anything. Fire, and I'm talking about spiritual fire. And there's another thing that that God promised would happen, and that's shaking. Spiritual shaking. He said, once more I'll shake the earth and the heavens also. The church world being shaken by the Lord. So what did the Lord say? So that those things that would not remain would be shaken off. Who's going to survive? Who's going to be the remnant? Who's going to remain? What things in your life would cause you to remain? It would be your personal revelation. You knowing the Lord, knowing His voice. Oh, keep a good check and good track on knowing His voice. And the best way to do it is when you just hear just the slightest intimation that it's the Lord speaking to you, you immediately answer and do. Every single time that you feel the Lord dealing with you, and you can know that it's the Lord, it's not going to be Satan that causes you to move closer to the Lord. His accusations and his oppressions will always make you feel far off from the Lord. But when you feel the Lord calling you, and you move up in whatever way that it is, and you obey every check, the voice of the Lord will become clearer and clearer. Until you can hear His slightest whispers. And that relationship cannot be shaken. Because you'll have some people going here and some people going there. And the voice of the Lord is saying to you, you stay right here. And you can just look at them calmly and say, but the Lord didn't tell me to do this. You know, that's not where I'm getting my permission. I get my permission from the Lord. I listen to His voice. So that will cause us to not build in vain. I want to speak just a little bit about vain religion. Jesus said in Luke 14. Well, let's see. No, that's not it. It's Matthew 14. Matthew 15, Jesus said about the people, the Pharisees, He asked them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? And they had just an absurd tradition here that let people off of taking care of their father and mother in their old age by you can take the money that you would care for them and give it to us, and then you're off. That was an awful tradition. It just circumvented the very plan and commandment of God. And Jesus just took him right to that and said, you're coming at me for not washing my hands. But look, this is what you're doing. And he said in verse 7, you hypocrites, well does Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me. This is a sad thing, to think of building a whole life in vain, building a whole religious experience in vain, building a movement in vain. All vain. In vain worship, it says, for teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For example, I thought of something that I read about the day that September 11th, 2001, where as the firemen went into the buildings, they had a priest there who they asked him to give them, what did they say? General absolution. Do you know what this means? It means that as he raised his hands upon this crowd of several hundred firemen, he said, "Your sins are forgiven." And they depended on that and they trusted that and went into their deaths. I'm sure that there were men in that group who actually did lift their hearts to the right one for forgiveness and looked to God. But there were many people in there who trusted in that in vain. They trusted in that the priest has said that I was forgiven. And that was it. I'm not their judge. I can't go in and say to those loved ones, your loved one did not make it to heaven because of this and this and this. And I can't say that to those people, but we can teach you truth tonight and say that's vain religion. That's a false hope. In Job it says their hope is as a spider's web. You can just take a spider's web and just go through that thing. A hypocrite's hope is as a spider's web. It can be torn. It's so flimsy. That's what they trusted in. Teaching for doctrines, the commandments of men. That's truly a commandment of men, where the Pope has said, we can forgive sins. We have the power to forgive sins. Truly the Scripture said of that movement, that they have put themselves in the place of God. That's vain. That's a vain religion. And we could list other examples, but that was one that just nearly blew me away when I read that about. And the writer that was writing this said she felt so relieved and so comforted when she interviewed this priest and knew that he had done that for these men. Our nation's in darkness tonight because of these things, and people do not really know Christ. They don't even try. They've got man that's approved them and blessed them, so why try? I mean, you know, if you're going to go to heaven anyway. But who among us, who God's looking down among men, whose heart will be perfect toward Him? Who will seek after a revelation from Him? Who will come to know Him and establish their whole life on His foundation? Vain worship. Over here to James, chapter 1, in verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Just exactly what Jesus was saying there in when he talked about the builder upon the sand. What a deception. What would it be to come down to the final test and realize this whole thing's crumbling on me? My whole profession, I'm lost. I don't have anything. That would be... And nowadays, when people go out, a lot of times they're so drugged in the hospitals, the medication so deadens them and dulls them that they have no last chance. If you would walk out of this building and you're in Walmart and you would suffer a heart attack, they'd take you right in and you'd be pumped full. You wouldn't have much of a chance. Now, it was a little different from that. They had many deathbed scenes, many people, but you can't count on that today. That's a very, very poor way to stock your life on. Well, right before I die. And actually, you know, it's not even honest. If I'm not willing to give my time and my life and my strength to the Lord, I just want to just barely make it in. Just get enough forgiveness to just cross over. That's really not honest. I don't even think it's not even worthy of the precious gift of Christ to the world. Is it? When you look at it in that way, to just say, well, you know, I'll pray when I die. There are people all the time that are, if you got right down it, that are counting on it. They live all the time knowing they should be doing better than what they're doing. They go from day to day. I don't really have the victory. I don't really know the Lord like you all say you know the Lord. And just go along. Hearers of the word, but not doers. Deceiving. Vain building. A vain structure. Something that's going to be washed away. One scripture in Isaiah says, a refuge of lies. A refuge of lies. What a refuge. They sit here and sing, I found a refuge, but it's not the refuge. It's not the rock. It is a refuge of lies. And what did it say in Isaiah there? That it'll be swept away with the overflowing scourge. There's going to come a day in your life, in your marriage, in the church, and it's here now, of shaking. And events that cause us that if we're not really grounded, our faith in the knowledge of Him and Him knowing us, that is a solid foundation. And you can build and then let Him build your life. Let Him take your life. Let Him use you. Let Him send you. You have a mission. Fulfill your mission. Don't be afraid to consecrate completely. There's places that need to be filled. There's buildings that need to be built all over this nation. Experiences, families, marriages that need to be established in different communities because people nowadays don't know what a happy home is. We were just talking to a young man he works up in Ohio, just over the river from Kentucky. He said that he went to his new job and the fellas there were talking bad about what they did to their wives, how they stepped out on them, the whole bunch of them. And they said, hey, Matt, do you step out on your wife? And he said, no, I love my wife. And an older man came over to him and said, you mean you really will admit in front of these men that you love your wife? He said, I've never heard a man admit that. And this is America. This is Midwest, Ohio. What darkness. There must be no happy marriages in that man's whole realm of influence at all. He said, I don't know any man that will admit that he loves his wife. Oh, what an opportunity for young Matt. He's got a precious experience with the Lord. He can shine a light. And we need that. We need homes that are built firm upon the Savior. We don't need vain religion anymore. The world's full of it. We need true religion. It says, if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. I love this description because this is exactly the way I feel about living for the Lord. It's perfect. Yes, it's a law. Yes, it is a code of conduct for me. It lets me know what I should do and should not do. Praise the Lord. It sends judgment upon me in my life. But I want to tell you something. It brings perfect liberty. Living by the law of the Lord brings liberty. It is a perfect law of liberty. He that looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. What a sad thing to live a whole life and yet not so surrender this one thing to the Lord, never have victory over this, and yet build many, many good things into my life, and come down and have the Lord say, I never knew you. I never owned you. You never were completely mine. I never had my seal upon you. You never gave yourself completely to me so that I could rule that tongue of yours. And so, depart from me. I don't know you. What a sad thing. Vain religion. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. James 2nd chapter says, you show me your faith without your works, but I've got to show you my faith by my works. I believe. The devils also believe and tremble. But we've got to show and prove that we believe. And how do we do that? By loving people. How can you love God and not love your brother? So by serving and loving people, we prove our love for the Master. Pure religion is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. And this is another way we prove to keep himself unspotted from the world. To take those precious promises, and it says, therefore, brethren, having therefore, dearly beloved, these promises, let us, how does it say? cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So we have this promise that I'll be a father to you. I'll receive you. I'll know you. I'll own you. I'll claim you. I won't deny you before the angels and my Father. But I'll say, yes, you see that child? That's mine. And to Satan, have you considered my servant? He must know us, and we must know him. That is the foundation of our faith. It is in him. We are built up. Let's go back to Ephesians 2 now. We're built up not only individually, but he's doing this together. He builds you. He works in your life. He puts each member in the body as it pleases him. Each stone in the building where he wants it. Am I where you want me, Lord? And think about where the Lord, go where you want me to go, dear Lord. I wonder sometimes about people. You will not prosper spiritually if you're not where the Lord wants you to be. If you're somewhere where the Lord doesn't want you to be, I mean in a geographical location, always be certain. Lord, are we where you want us to be? Do you have a field of service for us? Maybe that takes us away from being with those that we love, relatives. Are you willing to go across the sea, to go across the United States, to go to Mexico, to wherever? Are we willing to do what the Lord wants us to do? I believe that he will only call those who volunteer. Really. He will only call those who truly volunteer and say, Lord, I'll do anything that you want us to do. Just show us and we're on our way. I mean, just a willingness. That is the doing and not just hearing. But he says that he's going to put us together. Ephesians 2 and 19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. I know of no more blessed company than the saints. Holy people. I pray all the time, Lord, your scripture says that you want us to seek after holiness with them who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Lord, keep me with people who have a pure heart. I just seek that all the time. Lord, I just want to stay in Zion. I don't want to ever leave Zion. I just want to be Zion. Your fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Now this, here's the thought about the house. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together. Who did that? The Lord. Ye are God's building. He does the fitly framing together. There would be not a chance that I would know how to fit myself. I mean, you think about it. We're all so very different. We come from different walks of life. There are different colors. There's different races. There's different nationalities. But yet we can be one. We can be one building. This is God's design. You're not going to have the same place as someone else. You're going to have your place. But you fit in the same building as that other person. And they all receive the same, we all have the same care for one another. We're all being able to be connected to God. It's a wonderful, wonderful plan. We're built upon the whole building, all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. In whom ye also, in whom, in Christ, ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. I can just see this evening this beautiful, transparent building. In Revelations it says that that the wall is clear as crystal. We're blocks. We're living stones in this building. Each one of us a stone. And the light, there is no need for the light, for the sun, he said, because the Lamb is the light. And so you have this beautiful crystal. I can just see this. This is the church of God. Lives pure and holy, clear as crystal, made that way by the Lord. God's own holiness within thee, His own beauty on thy brow. You're made and you're placed, you're building. This is God's doing. Except the Lord build the house. They labor in vain. But when He does build it, look how beautiful. Just walk about Zion. And tell about her towers. Go around the walls and mark her bulwarks. Rejoice in her, you saints. This is wonderful. This is what God is. This is God's doings. And habitation. And it's not an empty building. It's people that are joined together. We form a beautiful crystal wall, and in the middle of that is a wonderful light. It's a burning fire. It's the Lord Himself. And He shines out because of our pure lives. You see this picture? Except the Lord builds this, it won't look like this. It's a vain building. It won't be clear. The stones in it will be murky. No light will get out to the world. You have a clear building. You have the right foundation. It's garnished with beautiful stones, precious stones, the gems of His graces, kindness and love and gentleness. And within the building is the ever-dwelling presence of God. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. These are wonderful prophecies. And it's true. And I want to tell you something. When you see this in the Word, and then when you seek God for revelation of what He's saying in the Word, Lord, put this in my heart and my life. Let this be my experience. And then when you see the Lord working in your heart and life, this same experience, what you're reading in the Word, it just anchors you. I can see He said it in the Word. This is the way it would be. And He's doing it in my life. Faithful is He who calls you, who also will do it. That's a promise. That's His covenant. He works in our life, His holiness. You begin to see growth. Oh Lord, I can see where You brought me from my vows of broken vows, from my disappointments, from my places of weakness, to a place of being a strong stone in the building. Praise God. Glory to God. Lord, thank You for placing me in the building. For building Your works in my life. Establish the works of Your hands, Lord. Those are scriptures. Let the beauty of the Lord be upon us. Now, instead of just Jesus being a light to the world, which He is. Now He says, you are the light of the world. A city that's set on the hill. It's Mount Zion, the church of the living God, the new Jerusalem, which is the saved. The nations who are saved. Now, they are that beautiful city, transparent, coming down from God out of heaven. It didn't come up out of the sea, dear ones. This building of God was made without hands. The foundation was not made by human hands. The laying of the stones is not made by human hands. Just like in Solomon's temple. When they brought those stones in there, they said not a tool was heard. They fit right in place. They had already been worked on. That's the way it is when we allow God to work on us. In our little secret prayer closets, in our lives, when you and I come together, we will fit. Because we've allowed God to work in our lives. And we're God's building. He's done it. And the glory goes to Him. And the glory will be there. The light will be there. This is the Word. This is God's Word. This is the picture. This is what we each need, this vision. Lord, give me a vision of this. Work it in my life. Make me a clear stone, transparent. Take away all the murkiness out of my life. Just own up. Just wherever I need to own up. This is me. Confess your faults to one another that you may be healed. That you might be clear, whole, free. Placed where the Lord wants you to. Secure. On a foundation that can't be shaken. The winds come through. The scripture calls them winds of doctrines. Whew. Some of them, I've explained this to our children, some of them go this way, and some of them go this way. But if you're on the foundation, you won't be swept away. And you won't, if you're not on a refuge of lies, the overflowing scourge, the flood, the fire, it won't hurt you. We welcome the fire, do we not, as saints, in the heated furnace? Father, let me say, we sing it. It's really in our hearts to say that to the Lord. Lord, turn your hand upon my heart and purely purge away all my dross and everything that's not like you. Isn't that our desire? So, when the fire comes, it shall only reveal what God's been doing. So we welcome it. And we thank the Lord when it does sweep away when things that we shouldn't have are shaken off. We thank the Lord. Lord, you saw that I was depending on this. I had my faith and my trust in my own works here. I thought that it was what I could do and how I could pray and how I could trust. But I see now, Lord, you're showing me you took all that away. You let me, sometimes the Lord lets you just flop, flat on your face. Your spiritual life, you just think, oh, it's in ruins. I want to tell you what that is. It's the fire coming through, burning up what really needed to be burned up. And then when you just acknowledge, okay, that wasn't the grace of God that was working in my life when I did that. Lord, work my life. Run my life. And He starts working. I want to tell you something. That's going to stand. That experience, those works will remain. You'll see souls saved. Where you were working and laboring before, but whenever the Lord begins to take away those things out of our lives, then we'll be able to see God's working in my life. And I didn't even realize, I didn't even do this, but the Lord, He was the light just shining through. I just wanted to leave this with you all. Thank the Lord this evening for the building of God. And remember the thought. Except the Lord build the house. They labor in vain, but if He does build it, it's a beautiful building. Praise God.